Blog Talk Radio.
The following content may not be suitable for all audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, bringing you the truth, the facts, and the light. Now, here's your host.
Well, good evening on this May 17th, 2021, and welcome to the Radio Infidel Show live from the USA, as always. Jay here, along with our executive producer, Pet May Farms, VP, and our military security man, Demon 26. Good evening, all. And folks, welcome to National I Will Unmute Myself Team Day. Pepe.
Unmuted. Howdy, Jay, and a happy Louie Louie Day to everybody. As you know, today is the day that the FBI famously completed their investigation into the lyrics of Richard Berry's 1955 hit Louie Louie, declaring the song to be officially unintelligible. Was there ever a time when the FBI was taken seriously, Jay?
Well, not for a long time. Did we get BP on board, Pepe? Pepe.
Hear me?
Pepe.
Yeah. There we go. Yes, we were having a clash of the mutes there. We've got
okay.
BP on.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go. Hey, buddy. Welcome.
Hey, how's
week?
It going?
It's going.
It was great. Just putting away my no gas signs from the 70s. So please forgive me for being late.
Yeah, you know, not a lot. I think all of us might remember that. I mean, I was quite younger then. But, yeah, that was what was the Carter era, BP?
Yeah. Yep, Carter era, yeah. I barely remember it. I couldn't figure out why we were waiting. What's all this
yeah.
waiting?
I remember everywhere, no gas, no gas, no gas.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
to have
yeah.
you. Good,
yeah,
good
3 hours
back
in the back of the station wagon, and we didn't end up at the beach.
That's true.
Yeah. And good evening to our military expert, Demon 26. Good evening, sir.
Jay, how are you? Hey, is that Louie Louie thing really true, Pepe? Because that's kind of funny. I like that.
Yes, it is. Apparently, a load of parents were complaining that smut was being sold in their stores because presumably some school kid told another school kid that the unintelligible lyrics were really dirty words.
That's fantastic.
You know,
that's one of the reasons I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, though.
I was going to say, that's one of the reasons they put it in Animal House, the movie, to give it that edge.
Right.
Animal House. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, no, I did not know that little tidbit. You bring good ones each week. Okay, Jess, we're all eyeing the Israel-Palestinian conflict, and I want to do a deep dive on it and get each of your thoughts. Apparently, Sunday, the UN Bullshit Council met with the Secretary General saying it must stop. Now, some of you may not know the issue. So we're going to utilize our military security expert and lay it out, and then we'll discuss. Demon, give us – I know you could do 8 shows on this, but give us the breakdown as best you can on the conflict, and I use the word conflict loosely. Go ahead.
Well, that whole region has basically been at war for the last 3,000 years. Regions within the Levant, which comprises what is now Israel up to Beirut, some of those areas there, have been changing hands for centuries. And what we currently have there is a massive Islamist faction that has taken over a great deal of the Levant. You've got the small Jewish state of Israel. There are still a few Christian factions here and there, especially within the city of Jerusalem and some of the smaller towns. Just in Beirut alone, back in the 80s, I read a bunch of material on this much later than the 80s. There were 92 separate factions warring just Beirut, Lebanon, just in that one city. Now, when you go over to Palestine, first of all, Palestine is a region. It's like Brooklyn. It's not a country. It's never been a country. There are people who are going to say, oh, it's a country. It's not. It has never been. The Palestinians, air quotes inserted here, most of them are Arabs from the Arabian Peninsula who were brought in when Jerusalem and Israel were handed over to the Jews in 1948 as a nation. They're not Palestinian at all. Many of the Palestinians, in fact, are actually descendants of the Crusaders. And if you go over there, you'll see blonde hair, you'll see green eyes, you'll see light complexions. Those are the original Palestinians. The smaller, dark-skinned ones are all Bedouin and nomadic tribesmen from the Arabian Peninsula. So there's really no argument for this nation of Palestine thing. Now, you take Israel. I don't know exactly what Israel's motivation is other than self-preservation in these strange attacks that they execute all the time. There's a lot of harassment attacks. There's a lot of just straight-up destruction that they rain down on Palestine. What I think is going on is they're using funds that are coming from the United States just to spend those in order to get more funds, because there's no action ever taken. There's no ground held. There's no ground ceded. It doesn't make any sense in the historical context of war. It makes none at all.
Okay. Okay. So
give me some feedback here, guys. Tell me what you think based on what I just said. Go ahead.
Here's what I was going to ask. It's been centuries, but let's move to present day. This latest, and I hate calling it a conflict because they think Vietnam was a conflict. That was a fucking war. But,
yes.
And today I read where Biden sells $735 million worth of laser-guided munitions to Israel and then turns around and gives, I think it was $75 million to Palestine for humanitarian aid.
Right.
Aren't we speaking out both sides of our ass?
Yes, that's exactly what's going on, and that's where I brought in my opinion on the money. What appears to be going on is just a military-industrial complex reaping enormous profits and just hammering the crap out of everybody, and the people who pay, as always, are the poor peasants on the ground.
Okay, so let's circle back.
Yeah, it's Democrat money laundering, fundamentally. When we give aid to other countries, especially military aid, usually it's stipulated that all that money has to be spent on American products. So let's say Biden is a senator from a state with Boeing in it, and Boeing selling a lot of bombs and bombers, all that financial aid to foreign countries goes straight back to his constituents, which he then gets in kickbacks. Not that Biden lives where Boeing is. It's just as a hypothetical example.
One of the
first geopolitical things I remember in my early history is, wasn't there a period in time when, like, the desert was full of Palestinians, quote unquote, and they were trying to get into Jordan, and Jordan was, like, bombing them because they didn't want them there?
That's correct. They also tried to seal their borders at one point.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So even their neighbors don't like them, let alone the neighbors to the west.
Well, they're nomadic tribesmen. They're barely civilized. People have to remember that regions like Oman and Yemen, those were nomadic tribes literally living in tents up until the British moved in there around the end of World War I, and they found all of that oil and started to push those nomadic tribesmen into cities so they could control them better and get at the resources better. These people are barely one generation away from essentially feral nomadic tribesmen.
Okay, so, Demon, let's, as much as I hate the phrase, let's circle back. So, present day, this started, what, like 4 days ago, the escalation?
About there, four, five, 6 days ago.
Reputedly because a Palestinian child was gunned down in a street by Israelis.
Okay, fair enough. So that is the spark point of all this. I read today where the Palestinians have shot over 3,000 rockets into Israel, kind of close ending.
That's correct. What those rockets are, they've got a real homemade rocket industry going there. They're essentially just very long-range mortars. They don't really carry a lot of explosive power in most cases, and quite a few of them are duds. But because of the Iron Dome over Israel, which is an air defense system comprised of close-in weapon support, SAM, surface-to-air missiles, and a few other systems that we paid for. The United States paid for that. None of that really gets through. It's very ineffective.
Okay. So it's like throwing a firecracker at in a street or something.
Well, they're sending one missile up to get another missile, and all that shit still has to come down. Right?
And again, well, who pays? The poor slob on the ground.
Yep. And And they make a lot of noise and stuff, but they, you know, the Patriot missiles that they're based on eventually self-detonate so that they don't hit the ground armed. So even if they miss, they still detonate in the air. So every missile that they launch, even though it explodes, isn't necessarily an intercept.
Right, right. So,
but to circle back, the kid supposedly getting shot in the street was just the most recent reason. There's always a reason. The real catalyst was all the money that Biden gave to Iran, because Iran immediately funneled that into Palestine, and then they had funds to build their rockets.
Yes, we know that to be true.
Well, I was going to go to the money again. 785 in precision guidance munitions. BP, and then what was it again? It was $75 million for aid to the Palestinians. What kind of message are we sending?
Well, there really isn't a message. It's money laundering. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think we're sending mixed signals at this point. I can just, based upon the last administration, their policy. In which we had no rockets fired into Israel for 4 years. Basically, if the Palestinians want their own land, they have to basically cooperate with the peace treaty. And that's very hard to do when you have Hezbollah and Hamas, who are proxies of the Iranians, stoking them up, telling them that they can do it.
And who are part of their government. Ademan, you were going to say, go ahead.
The whole thing goes, I'm going to circle back to the money, Jay. The whole thing goes to all of this massive amount of money being poured into the region. The only thing we've ever seen from that is the key players, our politicians, Palestinian politicians, Iranian politicians, Israeli politicians, all getting more and more wealthy. There's really no reason in my mind, from what I've studied in the conflicts in that region there, there's no reason for this conflict to be going on. The Palestinians, like I said, they're Arabic nomads. They don't have any business being there in the first place. And there's no gain or loss of land, really. Now, people are going to say, oh, Israel took the Golan Heights. Oh, Israel took parts of the Gaza Strip. That was all part of Israel to begin with. But here's a key point that a lot of people miss. Though that region was part of the Kingdom of Jordan for a very long time, and those nations that were in there, Jerusalem and such, those were city-states like Athens or Sparta under the ancient Greeks. They didn't have countries the same way we think of countries. So essentially, if you want to take just the actual Palestinians and just Semitic Jews who live there, the Ashkenazi don't have any claim. They don't belong to that region at all. It's kind of silly that they're there. But they're both right. They both belong there. But as city-states, there were never any countries the way we think of them today. And that's true through much of the Middle East.
Right. Okay, well, you guys, we could do probably five shows on this. But thanks, Rick.
Easily.
Pepe, do you have a final thought on this, Pepe?
Well, I was just going to say it reminds me a lot of the reactionary violence the likes of Antifa and BLM are doing here in the United States.
Yes.
You know, it's the same kind of forever war, forever tension. The slightest little transgression justifies months of violence. It's, you know, it's partially human nature, but it's also part of the current asymmetric warfare being waged against just about everybody.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and I saw, I think it was yesterday, a clip where BLM and Antifa were flying the Palestinian flag. So, yeah, anyway, guys, we will get back to this at another time, I promise you. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you, Dylan. That was great info. Okay, the soundbite we're about to play is one pissed off black patriot just so happens to be at a gas station, which, by the way, has no gas. Hit it, Pepe.
Where the fuck are the Joe Biden supporters? I can tell y'all why I support Trump. Tell me why y'all support this motherfucker. Ain't doing shit but fucking us up. Every day fucking us up. I don't see shit. Anybody saying nothing. They had a whole lot of energy. They had a whole lot of energy when my motherfucking man president was in there. And everything that Trump did, I told you, I support him for this. I support him for that. I had to stand behind that shit. Every fucking day I had to stand behind why I supported President Trump. I don't hear no motherfucking body telling me why they support Joe Biden or all this goofy shit. Then when I asked my uncle about this shit, he said, Joe, do you think that I'm with that shit? Do you think I support that? Yes, you support it. If you vote for Joe Biden, you support all of this shit. Because when I was with Trump, I had to tell you I support every fucking thing that he did, and I justified what the fuck that he did. Tell me anything. Anything. All these kids at the fucking border, guess what? Yeah, you with that shit, you Joe Biden voting motherfucker. Turning your little boys into little girls. You can't tell me you ain't with that shit. You voted for Joe Biden. You with it. You with it. Y'all want to detach yourself from everything that Joe Biden doing like it's just him. No. You voted for him. That's what the fuck you wanted. Own it. Own it. I told y'all back then you was a bunch of fucking useful idiots. Own it. When was America ever great? I guarantee you motherfuckers can wish you could go back to the day that Donald Trump won. That was a good fucking day. You might was mad in your fucking mind, but I bet you your ass was on the way to work. I bet you was on your fucking way to work. I bet you wasn't standing at a fucking gas station looking for gas. I bet you wasn't waiting for a fucking stimulus check. I bet you wasn't waiting for an extra $300 on your fucking food stamps. I bet you. Want to get rid of Trump. Fuck Trump. Fuck Trump. I told y'all, politicians want to get rid of Trump for one fucking reason, so they can do what the fuck they want to do. It was never their plan for fucking Trump to win 4 years ago. They tried to get my man up out of there so they can do what the fuck they doing now. They wanted to do this shit 4 years ago. They're fucking warmongers. They're not for us. Trump got in their way for 4 years. He stopped them son of a bitches from doing what the fuck they want to do. They been wanting to do this shit. They been wanting your little boy to be a little girl. They been wanting this shit not to look like America no motherfucking more. When Trump said, America first. America first, goddammit. Oh, that's racist. I told y'all it was not their plan for Trump to win. I understood why y'all didn't like politics, didn't like Trump. Y'all didn't like Trump because they made y'all not like Trump. I understand that shit. I understand why y'all didn't like Trump. But why did politicians not like Trump? Why did politicians not like Trump? Because he was fucking up their plan. He was fucking up their plan. They always had a plan to destroy this fucking country. I hope you're going to go pick up Trump. Go to fucking Florida and go pick up President Trump, please. Hope them fucking jets going to pick up my goddamn president.
Now, if you have not seen the video, this man is in a parking or in a gas station, I'm sorry, with a gas station without gas, and he's doing an entire panoramic video and calling people out. Pepe?
Oh, yeah, man, great video. First time I heard that at the end of it, I thought he was being airstriked by Biden.
Kind of
oh my God!
But you're right. It was a parking lot. It was supposed to be a gas station, but it was a parking lot.
Right.
But you got to remember, was it what time was it? Because Biden has specific hours. He has to wake up at 9:30 and go to bed at 7:30.
Yes, it must have been his lunchtime drone strike.
Demon, go ahead.
Oh my God, that guy! I want to buy that guy a beer. It was so spot on, and I'm going to tell you, I hang out downtown Detroit a lot. I'm hearing more and more people down there start to talk that way too. I'm hearing a lot of it.
Demon, I think you're going to hear much more from the African American community based on their frustration with the Democratic Party.
Good.
Finally, I think they're starting to wake up and see where they stand, who they stand with, and where they stand.
Yeah, there's a
transgender,
flat out the
like
party
you said,
of slavery.
Yeah, yeah. Transgenders, where they stand, open borders, and free money for all. Print money every day.
Yeah, and we got a doozy coming up, released today or announced today. But, you know, still don't see on social media all these people raving about what a good job Biden's doing. I haven't found a post. I have not found a post since the day he was sworn in.
Good luck.
Yep.
There are a lot of them posting their L's, though, that's for sure.
Yes, they are. Okay. And Jay, guys,
go ahead, buddy.
If you have a moment, just watch Australian news because they are hammering this administration.
Oh.
I mean,
they stand up. Yeah, they do not bullshit BP.
No,
and they're
about
to get nuked by China.
And they are definitely afraid. And definitely afraid. At this point.
All right. As we all should be.
Yes,
all right, guys.
All right.
I'll tell you. I just know what to say about this next one, other than pisses me the fuck off. Just go ahead and point it at me.
We reveal hospitals have been counting patients who died from serious pre-existing conditions as COVID-19 deaths. One America's Pearson Sharp has more as the CDC counts over 51,000 patients who die from heart attacks as opposed to coronavirus.
The Centers for Disease Control have updated their death counts for coronavirus and reveal yet again that COVID-19 is rarely the actual cause of death among coronavirus patients. According to the CDC themselves, of the 220,000 deaths attributed to the coronavirus, 87,000 of them died from pneumonia and influenza. Another 17,000 died from chronic respiratory diseases and 26,000 died from respiratory distress syndrome. 44,000 patients died from hypertensive diseases, 23,000 died from heart disease, and a whopping 28,000 died from cardiac arrest and heart failure. Yet all of these, even patients who died from heart attacks, were marked down as dying from the coronavirus. Doctors who spoke with One America News explained that 131,000 patients who are being considered COVID-19 deaths already had life-ending diseases, including cancer, dementia, and even end-stage renal failure. And according to the CDC, again, if you look at place of death, you'll see that some 10,000 patients who died from COVID were on hospice care, meaning they were terminally ill to begin with and were already expected to die. Doctors tell One America News that all of these patients were critically ill and likely died from their pre-existing conditions without any help from the coronavirus. However, they explain that the CARES Act, passed by Congress in March, gives hospitals a 20% bonus on their diagnosis-related group paid for by Medicare. Essentially, that means doctors are being paid to list deaths as coronavirus without any indication the patient's death was actually COVID-related. The CDC backs these numbers up, explaining that coronavirus itself is responsible for just 6% of all deaths listed as coronavirus-related. The other 94% of deaths are due to pre-existing comorbidities, including serious illnesses and advanced age. However, despite this report being officially published by the CDC, so far the mainstream media have completely ignored it, instead continuing to hype a pandemic that seems less dangerous every day.
6%. You know, Pepe, you've been drilling this bullshit narrative for weeks now on Big Think. This is, if not one of the biggest frauds perpetrated on the U.S., it may be the biggest.
Yes, indeed, Jay. And in fact, the CDC has lowered its number to 5% in their latest admission, making it even more likely it's a reporting problem and that no patients at all died of COVID alone. Remember, the CDC directed all deaths that had a positive or suspected COVID relation be entered as the primary cause of death and all other factors in Part B. So literally, it's just 5% didn't fill out Part B.
BP, this is just, when I got this piece and laid it in, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, Jay, you can't be surprised. When there's a financial aspect to it, people are willing to do anything for money, even doctors.
Demon, I'll tell you, this fucking Fauci, or Foxy, or whatever they call him, he needs to be in the Nuremberg trials. Go ahead, Dean.
That's exactly what I was about to say, Jay. It's time. America needs to start calling for a new Nuremberg trials. And I hate to say it. No, wait, I really don't. All of these doctors, all of these hospital administration boards, every single one of them that participated in this were murdering people. All of the people in the nursing homes that were murdered in five different states, every single person who knew what was going on, I was just doing my duty is not a defense. Every single person who died on a respirator that they didn't need, any doctor or nurse who touched them, I was just doing my duty is not a legal defense. I have had it, and frankly, I have no problem at this point putting thousands of politicians, doctors, and the rest of the bureaucrats up against the wall. I have no problem with it. This has the potential to make the Holocaust look like a sick joke.
Yeah, Damon, there were that handful of doctors, even early on, that called bullshit, and
yes. They
were virtually destroyed.
Yes, they were all silenced right away. There were the two doctors in California. They were immediately gotten rid of. There was the one black female doctor. She was actually African. She's still out there. She's still on BitChute, and she's on Gab. There's Dr. Tenpenny.
Was that was that that one? You remember the new news conference? Like seven or eight of them did. Is that who you're talking about? The lady.
Yeah, that's her.
She was there, but she's got a lot of material of her own. She's from, I think, Cameroon or Nigeria or something like that, but she is squared the fuck away. You listen to what she's saying, she's spot on. And I'll tell you, when this first kicked off, I realized what was going on right away. I started driving around the two huge hospitals near me, and they are citadels. They're enormous hospitals in the north end of Detroit. no activity at all. When you've got a pandemic going on, those places should be absolutely crawling with activity. There was none. The parking lots were literally empty.
Yeah, you know, and at BP, and I think I've mentioned on the show before that my sister works at one of the largest, if not the largest, hospital system in Northwest Florida. She is a nurse educator. And I remember back when this all broke out, I'm like, what's your caseload today? Well, we shut down two wings and had to make them air-free and blah, blah, blah. And then more and more, she started saying, we have 17 patients. And this was at the height of the scam. So if heads don't roll, BP, I was going to say we've really fucked up America, but we've already done that. Thank you, Biden. But, I mean, I mean, what is your take on the whole COVID scam?
Well, I think based upon the information we just heard, I think we can all draw a conclusion that people are trying to pull the wool over the American citizen for their own gain. Because you got to remember, part of the stimulus Biden passed included funding for hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey,
it's a win-win for them either way. You can fudge the numbers and get money, or you can just wait for the stimulus to get money. So,
Hey, guys,
I got to throw this in here real quick. My wife sells pharma wholesale. She's right in the middle of this. She's watching all of it go down. She just texted because she's listening to the show upstairs right now. She said Caremont Pharmacy inside the huge hospital complex that I was talking about, inside one of them, has cut their hours from being the only pharmacy in a major hospital. They're now 9 to 5, and they are no longer open on Saturdays. Now tell me about a pandemic where a pharmacy has to cut its hours.
That doesn't wash. Well, Jay,
wait, there's more. Have you heard yet who Dr. Fauci's wife is?
I have, but I don't know her background.
Well, her name is Christine Grady, and she's head of the bioethics division at the National Institute of Health. You know what the bioethics division does? They decide whether or not human testing should occur.
Oh, good fucking Lord.
Yes, there's a famous talk she gave that's been scrubbed, where she declared that we're in the post-consent age, where you don't really have to do human trials anymore. People will just volunteer because they think it's the greater good to be guinea pigs.
I'm not a mouse.
Yeah, hamsters right, are guys, more your thing, right, Jay?
Yeah, easy there, buddy. why did you throw me off on the script? Okay, let's move on because I am running you guys long. And this is the point or the segment I wanted to bring to VP. Announced today, a handout Biden has given starting July 15th, $300 a month for families with kids 6 and under per kid, mind you, and $250 a month 7 and up. Said to benefit 39 million families, this is supposed to run through the end of the year. But wait, as Pepe says, there's more. Biden wants it extended through 2025. Socialism much, Pepe?
Oh, yeah. And 2025, isn't that when Beijing Biden wants to end cars, too? I mean, these people are going to be pissed when they find out they can't trade their child credits in on a new Lexus.
VP, go ahead, buddy.
Well, that was great. Well, I mean, it's just more Democratic political football. If you extend it to 2025 and you let in another 2 million people into the country, that's basically where all that money is going to go, because as you saw last week, the birth rate in the United States is at its lowest since 1979. So who are the people having kids? Most of the people coming over the border from other countries.
Yeah.
So they'll be eligible for that tax credit, quote unquote. Just think it's all crazy.
Yeah. I understand that this is broke down to direct payments and then tax credits or whatever, but we're trying to end this extended federal unemployment shit because businesses are dying for help. I made a post the other day in one of the restaurant groups, and I said, bitches, you better get back to work because June 1st, DeSantis is opting out of it, and people fucking flipped out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing that exact same thing here in just about every restaurant I drive by. Help wanted signs. It's what people aren't getting is they see all these free stimmy bucks and they're like, ooh, wee, free money, yay. And then they're not paying attention when they go to the market. And now beef is $7, $8, $9 a pound. You're not going to be able to feed your families on these scraps they're throwing you to keep you busy and keep you dazzled. It's inflation, and you're going to end up paying a freaking wheelbarrow full of money like they did in Weimar Germany or like they did in Venezuela for a loaf of freaking bread. These people are idiots. They need to – I'm just so angry and frustrated at this whole thing. It's so obvious what's going on.
Well, Damon, here's my thing. If $300 a week for a child helps you out, you probably don't have business having a fucking kid.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. We're going to blow one more through, and then we're going to get on to Facts with Demon 26. Let's see how you guys feel about this one. This is from Reuters. U.S. Supreme Court refuses to make it easier for police to enter a home without a warrant for reasons of health or public safety in a case involving confiscation of a Rhode Island man's gun. The Supreme Court today to make it easier for the nation's police to enter private homes and conduct searches with or without warrants for safety reasons. The court ruled unanimously that police in Rhode Island went too far when they entered a home to search for a gun belonging to a man who had agreed to seek a mental health evaluation. The police said they were acting under one of their community caretaking functions that allow searches without a warrant. But in the ruling against the police, several of the justices made it clear they were not deciding that police cannot enter a home without a warrant to check on an older person who might need medical aid. Pepe.
Well, perhaps they should, Jay. As we all know, medical aid is being stretched in every way imaginable these days. I mean, is forced vaccination medical aid? Sure is.
Don't give them any ideas. I swear to God. BT, go ahead.
I think you hit it right on the head, Pepe. Forced. Everybody's trying to force you to do something. It's all about control. Ultimately, it's about control.
It absolutely is. Demon, go ahead, partner.
Yeah, it is. It's all about control. You guys are spot on. That this ruling got all the way to SCOTUS at all is extremely telling. It's the whole forcing everybody to do thing. I can't even believe that it was considered in the first place. It's insane. The upside, though, is that more and more people are starting to wake the hell up. Can you drop that audio for me, Pepe? Listen to this lady talk. She's talking
now,
about
I'm not all that interested in getting into politics on here because politics is exhausting, but this made me giggle. The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. For those of you who are like, oh, my God, what is this? I'm going to explain it to you. These are words, and that's it. Now, for those of you who are like, but sadly, I'm still confused. Pardon my French while I take it a step further. This is a kid on the playground who talks a lot of shit but can't fight. This is coming after the CDC released their new guidelines regarding people who are vaccinated and masks. This is where I get tickled. The CDC and the federal government have consistently been like 40 steps behind. 14 states have already lifted their mask mandates and 11 states never had one. speaking to American citizens, it is your responsibility to know and understand both your rights and the limited authority of the federal government. There is no rule. Guidelines are not rules. The limit does not exist. It's an empty threat. Carry on.
Yeah, this woman is just absolutely talking massive amounts of sense, man. Share this, people. Share this. Send it to people. Send this to politicians and bureaucrats. Guys, what do you think of her?
Oh, yes. Right on. And sorry, I was a little quick on the button there, Demon.
That's all right.
The woman was talking specifically about the tweet from Joe Biden saying, your choice is clear, wear a mask or don't. Wait, that's not exactly what he said, but you get the drift.
Yeah, well, I think the tweet was something like, the rule is simple, wear a mask unless vaccinated. And a ref in Florida replied to him, and he said, nah.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
All right, guys, we're going to split this, and then we're going to go with facts with Demon 26. And I wanted to end the last one, but this one pisses me off so fucking bad. You don't even know. I had thought I had to take another blood pressure pill when I fucking saw this story. Well, if you're not far enough, you will be. I have seen and heard some of the most ignorant shit of the NFL, but this one gets the prize. The NFL has a $1 billion compensation program for players who sustain brain injuries while competing in the league. However, the NFL has a secret algorithm it uses to determine the level of compensation awarded to each injured athlete and argues in court, that it is correct to take consideration what it maintains is a lower cognitive skills of black players compared to other races. This is today, folks, today. Why former and current NFL players who suffer from dementia or other brain injuries are entitled to compensation from the NFL if their injuries were sustained while competing in the league. I get that. The NFL also argues that it is correct to assume black players have lower cognitive skills on average, and this should be taken into consideration when awarding compensation. However, former Washington running back Ken Jerkins, 61 years old now, and his wife, Amy Lewis, argue in U.S. District Court that awarding less compensation to black people is an example of inequality. It fucking absolutely is, and more, Pepe.
Yeah, I know, and wow, a social justice story that uses the word inequality instead of inequity. It's indicative of the truth of the story.
BP, I am literally sweating from the forehead over this.
I know, Jay. It's very frustrating. But you have to realize the NFL is a business, billion-dollar business. So they're going to try to save the owners as much money as possible. But the repercussions of that, I think you're going to start seeing the numbers of fans start to drop like the NBA. Because you cannot tell me if the Los Angeles Rams can build a $7 billion, that's billion with a B, $7 billion stadium, you can't find any money to compensate all of the players equally.
That's of all the things I've read the last couple of days for doing the show, that one just fucking blew my mind. You know, and it's not a white-black thing, but Demon, I think black players in the NFL are probably more contributive to the fucking sport than white players.
Hey, you look at the forward line of any football team, and you don't have to think about it. It's an absolute fact. What kills me is how much this sounds like the three-fifths clause that was used against the freed slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much this sounds like the three-fifths clause. I have never seen so much racism in a sports policy in my life. It's insane.
Yeah. It makes my head actually split, guys. I just don't. Okay, guys, before I have an aneurysm, we're going to move on with facts with Demon 2-6. Take it away, Demon.
Oh, Jay, this all the articles we covered here just point exactly to what I want to talk about tonight. I want everybody out there who's listening to consider something, just how much you're propagandized by the media. We have cases going in Arizona right now. We have cases in Wisconsin. We have cases in Michigan. There's one popping up in Pennsylvania. There's one popping up in Georgia, where they're finding that the elections were in fact tampered with, and it looks very much like Donald Trump won. How many major news media outlets out there are covering them, all the way down to your city stations, your local stations like WDIV here in Detroit? None of them. Not one of them are covering it. What are they covering? Fox News is covering UFOs. CNN's covering what's going on in the Middle East right now. All of our local stations are covering the freaking pandemic theater. People, you're being propagandized on a massive scale. You are looking at government-fed propaganda. Here's how you get around that. We're fortunate enough in this day and age to be able to watch more than one news source. Don't just flip on your local news and say, okay, this is what's going on today. They'll put in a couple of fluff pieces, a couple of local pieces, a couple of interest pieces, and some sports. But they're major stories. If you go look across every state in the nation and use a VPN to hop into another state or even another country and bring those same links up, they'll have different headlines. But they all basically tell the same story. Live in fear. Don't listen to this. Listen to this. Don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to this. Once you start looking at more than one source, and it's critical, look at least five sources, preferably some international sources. Most of them have English language. For those of you out there who don't speak a different language, start looking and comparing, and you can see the damn lies. It is critical. It is critical to your own mental well-being that you break this cycle of propaganda. This is essentially Homer's Island of the Lotus Eaters from the Iliad, where Odysseus and his men are trapped on this island, and if you eat the lotus, you don't remember where you are, you don't remember who you are, you don't remember what's going on, you don't remember what you're supposed to be doing. That's what this propaganda is designed to do. It's designed to keep you soporific and consuming. Buy stuff. Do this. Stay home. Don't look at that. Look at this. I understand that I'm repeating myself, but I want to get it into your heads. You're being brutally propagandized. Brutally propagandized by your own government and your own news media sources. Those of you who have the capability, start tracking down local reporters. Do it in large groups. Treat them the same way they treated people on Donald Trump's staff. Gather around them in restaurants or in shopping centers, wherever you find them, and demand answers. Don't be violent. Don't be stupid. Don't do anything that's going to get you slapped into an orange jumpsuit and eat stale bread for the next 3 years. But demand answers from these people. You can do this. We have to show them that we're not afraid of them anymore. You're being propagandized, and you can break the cycle simply by going and looking at more than one source. Stop watching just your local news. Stop watching just Fox News. Stop watching just CNN, whatever you're watching. Go look. You'll see it almost instantly. Go to some of the weirder websites out there like BitChute or Gab, and you're going to see crazy stuff. Yeah, you are. But dig through some of the information. A lot of it is actual doctors speaking. The ones we were speaking about earlier, the doctor from Africa who's absolutely got her facts on point, Dr. Tenpenny, who's a freaking absolutely squared away doctor. Propaganda cycle. We've gone through a lot of time tonight. I'm going to cut this short, but I could go on for hours about how you're being had. Snap out of the spell. Jay, what do you think?
No, this is 101% spot on. This is exactly exactly what's happening. You know, you can't, to your point, you can't just watch news station or a show, or you've got to go out, like you're saying, and find out for yourself, because they're not going to tell you. Pepe, your thoughts?
Well, remember when President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2017, there was a little-known section of it that authorized the United States government to propagandize to United States citizens in the United States. So,
absolutely correct. Yes, it is. Look it up.
If you're wondering where it came from, that's where it came from. It's legalized propaganda, and they made it 100% legal.
That's so true. I remember that. I remember exactly that story coming through.
You know, and today, or I believe it was today, I could be wrong, now the White House wants all reporter quotes to go through them if it comes from the White House. You guys hear about that?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Now, yes, that was called the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, meant to obviously combat foreign disinformation and manipulation.
Well, now,
let me shorten that to Stalinism.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, granted, other White Houses have done that, and admittedly, even the bullshit New York Times said Trump's administration, not so much. Demon, great stuff as always, buddy. That was great information. Okay, friends, that is the sweet spot. That would be the break. Get your mind out of the gutter. On the other side, Big Think with Pepe Farms. Grab you some Georgia sweet tea. Hit the can. We'll be right back.
Do they know the places where we go when we're gray and old? 'Cause I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it, oh, she offers me protection, a lot of love and affection, whether I'm right or wrong. And down the waterfall, wherever it may take me, I know that life won't break me when I come to call. She won't forsake me. I'm loving angels instead. When I'm feeling weak and my pain walks down a one-way street, I look above and I know
And welcome back to the Radio Infidel Show for another episode of Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers. As the great 2021 gas shortage that wasn't enters its second week, as day 400 of 15 days to flatten the curve has long passed, as the big lie reemerges in popular discourse, as Fauci's career goes the way of mask mandates, and as the normies are beginning to question if 30 people a day dying from experimental vaccines is a good thing, let us add to the conversation with a little reminder. The gas shortage and the pandemic are more closely related than you think. Let's talk about where oil and natural gas comes from tonight on Big Think with Pepe Farms Remembers. Every Western schoolchild knows the mantra, oil, coal, and natural gas are, quote, fossil fuels, created in the Earth's crust by the application of heat and pressure on deposits of dead plant, animal, and microbial matter, and as such, are limited resources requiring high levels of regulation, taxation, and pricing. Entire sectors of the economy, in both private and public venues of all sizes, rely on this fact being undisputed. Politicians use the cudgels fear, uncertainty, and doubt to terrorize the public with fear campaigns like peak oil. Corporations explain away exorbitant pricing and environmental disasters as necessary for extracting the ever-diminishing reserves. Governments freeze their subjects to death with power supply shortages justified by a need to reduce our dependence on limited petroleum reserves. But what if it was all bunk? What if there was a perfectly rational explanation that was supported by chemistry, the laws of thermodynamics, and experimentation? Well, there is, and it's not a new one. Jerome Corzine wrote a book nearly a decade ago. In an interview with Kevin Moore, he explained,
oil is not fossil fuel. It's not dinosaur soup, not biological in origin at all. It's not made from decaying ancient forests or plankton or any other biological debris. The abiotic theory, and abiotic means not biological, argues that oil's origin is from within the mantle of the earth, and it's an understood chemical process in which oil is produced under heat and temperature conditions that are available in the mantle of the earth, and it's produced on an ongoing basis, which means that even today there's new oil generation going on. The theory has profound ramifications. I think probably the United States is one of the few countries left that truly holds on to the fossil fuel theory. The Dino the dinosaur, which was a symbol for the Sinclair oil in the 50s, we've always associated dinosaurs and oil. It's why we call it fossil fuel.
As with many of the subjects we've discussed, our petroleum industry is a product of war, in this case the First World War, when it was vital to establish and standardize the science of estimating petroleum reserves and resources. The United States Geological Survey, the USGS, established their oil and gas section in 1916 as the advent of mechanized warfare shifted petroleum production from a small prospective commodity to a national resource fundamental to victory in modern war. The USGS was tasked with estimating petroleum reserves and advising government on petroleum production taxation. Through the mid-40s, the U.S. accounted for approximately 65% of world petroleum production. Through the mid-1920s, petroleum reserves were estimated wildly low, with claims of only a 20-year supply existing in the U.S. and a strong belief that very few petroleum reserves existed worldwide. First in our cast of characters, M. King Hubbert developed the, quote, peak oil cudgel while working for Shell Petroleum Company. As detailed in a very interesting 2017 Yale geology paper, following his work for the Board of Economic Warfare, Hubbert was employed as a research geophysicist by Shell Petroleum Company from 1943 until 1964, and it was during this time period that he presented his early work on peak oil. In 1949, Hubbert presented his energy from fossil fuels as part of the Symposium on Sources of Energy in Washington, D.C., examining annual world production over time for both coal and petroleum. It is in this preliminary paper that we observe several aspects of what would lead to the infamous Hubbert curve and his predictions regarding peak oil. Hubbert's 1949 work focused on the rate of increase of production of both coal and petroleum, neglecting natural gas for want of world production statistics, noting that annual production of coal since 1913 had grown geometrically at a rate of 4% per year since 1913, implying that annual production doubled every 17 years, while from 1860 to 1929, world crude production had grown geometrically at a rate of 9% a year, implying that annual production doubled every 7.5 years. Pairing these observations with what he deemed, quote, one of the most disturbing ecological influences of recent millennia, was that, quote, the human species' proclivity for the capture of energy resulting in a progressive increase in the human population, unquote, Hubbert surmised that the amount of any fossil fuel consumed at any given time would be proportional to the area underneath a curve similar to those which he had presented, concluding, quote, thus we may announce with certainty that the production curve of any given species of fossil fuel will rise, pass through one or several maxima, and then decline asymptotically to zero. Hence, whole there is an infinity of different shapes that such a curve may have, and they all have this in common, that the area under each must be equal or less than the amount initially present. Hubbert would wait another 7 years to speculate on what this curve may look like, although he would continue the paper by ominously discussing hydropower's ability to meet current energy demand and human existence on an absolute timescale. So in 1956, while working for Shell Oil, Mr. King Hubbert developed the peak oil concept by curve fitting, a speculative petroleum resource depletion model. His model seemed to fit the data well enough until new drilling and exploration techniques were utilized in the early 2000s. These techniques also considered the unutterable, that petroleum was not created from dead dinosaurs. What if-isms about running out of oil have lost their luster in the face of peak oil's collapse, perhaps leading us to the current global warming scare as replacement, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The biogenic petroleum theory is claimed to be accepted because, quote, biological components exist within these reserves, an almost circular argument working best for coal, which frequently contains plant material. Its proponents reject the obvious arguments in typical adolescent foot-stomping manner, but the most damning is good old carbon itself. Any archaeology or crime drama aficionado has at least a superficial knowledge of carbon dating, probably along the lines of it's a thing used to date stuff, with perhaps the detail that the stuff in question has to be organic, like a plant or poop. But the dating is not very specific, good for determining eras, but not decades or centuries, and in most cases, not even millennia. Carbon dating works because we are all carbon-based life forms, built from carbon mixed with hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur, transformed into fats, carbs, and proteins, driven by hormones and enzymes. When these targeted living things die, their structure stops being replenished with new atmospheric carbon, either directly absorbed or through the consumption of plants. Now, our friend carbon exists in nature as a variety of isotopes, as do the other elements. The carbon atom's six protons exist stably with six or seven neutrons, but almost all atmospheric carbon exists as the unstable carbon-14 isotope with eight neutrons. Carbon dioxide in the air is constantly bombarded by cosmic rays and other high-energy particles in the upper atmosphere, converting carbon-12 and carbon-13 to the unstable carbon-14. This isotope degrades into one of the other isotopes with a half-life of 5,700 years. By comparing the carbon-14 ratio in an ancient sample of organic material, you can predict the age of the sample. Simple enough, but the ratios of carbon isotopes in petroleum samples contradicts the biological petroleum source theory. Of carbon's two stable isotopes, carbon-12 is most prevalent, comprising 99% of all carbon on Earth, with carbon-13's consistent 1% concentration, a result of both the stellar nuclear processes that cooked up the elements eventually supplied for the creation of the planets in our solar system, and the radioactive decay of the unstable atmospheric carbon-14. About 1% decays into carbon-13, and the rest decays into carbon-12. There are no other forces present on Earth that can change this ratio significantly other than biological processes that select one isotope over the other. In the study of the distribution of carbon isotopes in relation to petroleum and natural gas, it has always been argued that the ratio of carbon in petroleum and gas reserves can and does indicate petroleum has a biological origin. When separating isotopes, the process is usually referred to as fractionation, with the resulting fractionated material referred to as isotopically light or heavy, depending on the ratio of the lighter isotope to the heavier. These measurements are not referred to as an absolute, but rather in comparison to a normal value, with the variation from this norm used for comparison. In the case of petroleum deposits, the PDB standard was developed from a marine carbonate rock called PD belemnite, selected for its position in the middle distribution of all marine carbonates. In plants, the process of photosynthesis slightly favors the lighter carbon isotope, and as a result, the ratio of carbon-12 to carbon-13 in plants has a larger variation than any other single non-biological chemical process recognized in nature. Astrophysicist Dr. Thomas Gold noted that the consistency of the isotopic ratio of marine carbonates spanning all ages deserves further comment. If at any time between the Archaean and the present, a large change had taken place in the amount of plant debris that was buried, and if this plant debris was, as is usual, isotopically light, then more of the light isotope would have been taken out of the atmospheric oceanic carbon dioxide reservoir. The remaining CO2 in that reservoir would have been driven to a slightly heavier composition, as if much as one-fifth of the buried carbon was in the form of such plant debris, then the shift in the remaining atmospheric carbon and the resulting shift in the carbonates laid down from it should have been readily observable. When land vegetation suddenly proliferated in the Silurian times, for example, one might well think that twice as much unoxidized plant material was buried as before this event. Why is there no change in the isotopic ratio of marine carbonates in this epoch? An explanation that the primordial supply suffered a change in the isotopic ratio just sufficient to compensate is improbable. A more likely explanation is that the quantity of biological debris that is buried is much smaller fraction than the one usually assumed. The reason for this may be that the identification of much of the buried carbonaceous material as plant debris is not correct, and that a large proportion of this material derived directly from hydrocarbons ascending from the mantle. The remarkable consistency of isotope values of marine carbonates also affects the question of the amount of carbon that may be coming up as a result of the heating of subducted sediment. In such a process, some or all of the carbonates may be disassociated and the CO2 may come to the surface. Much of the unoxidized carbon that is in the same sediment, whether it derives from plants or from a primordial hydrocarbon supply, is known to be isotopically much lighter. Of that, only a fraction would be turned into liquids or gases, limited by the availability of hydrogen. The remainder would be eventually turned into elemental carbon, graphite or anthracite, and in that form it would be insoluble and stable, and would not be returned to the atmosphere. A process of multiple recycling of sedimentary carbon would therefore always take away more of the light isotope than of the heavy, and this would drive the atmospheric oceanic CO2 to a heavier isotope value. Recycling of sediments cannot account for a significant fraction of the resupply of atmospheric CO2 over geologic time. So, the ratio of carbon isotopes recorded in seafloor sediments shows there has never been a great deposition of organic carbon from which petroleum and coal could have ever been derived. And from the depth distribution of isotopes, it indicates the claimed biological signatures are misinterpreted fractionations that also favor the lighter carbon isotope. Then came the diamondoids. Diamonds, as we all know, is crystallized carbon. And diamondoids, or adamantanes, are a crystal of carbon and hydrogen discovered originally in petroleum deposits. These crystals cannot be formed at crustal pressures and show the same carbon-13 ratio as the fluids in which they are found,
indicating a common origin. A biological origin for petroleum would require those biological deposits to travel down to the mantle, or that the biological deposits contained the diamondoids at the time they were deposited. No such mechanism has ever been demonstrated, and as is usually the case, the simple answer is that both petroleum and their associates, the diamondoids, are synthesized at great depth from elemental carbon and oxygen and migrate to the crustal fractures they are associated with. The case for abiogenic petroleum has only been further strengthened by the discoveries as far away as Saturn's moon, Titan, with its seas of hydrocarbons, far away from any source of life that may have contributed to their creation. Methane has been detected on Jupiter, Mars, Saturn and its moon Titan, and Enceladus, Neptune and its moon Triton, Uranus and its moons, Pluto, comets, and even nebula. There's probably even oil on Mars. America today is mired in dogma, strangled with purposeful deceit, and held hostage by psychopaths who fear people. If our governments will lie to us about something as basic as where oil comes from, do you have any doubt they are lying to us today?
Well, amazing stuff as always, Pepe. I say it each week, but I learn more and more every time you guys present this stuff. Let's get into final thoughts. Final thoughts, Pepe.
Well, good evening, everybody. And remember, a recent study by a very prominent scientist is claiming that 6 out of 7 dwarves are not happy. Good night, everybody.
would that be the Fauci study?
Yes, or his wife.
Lord. Okay, or his wife. Okay, final thoughts, VP.
Oh, Jay, I don't have much to say. I just have to get up early, make sure I can get some gas in my car before I get out tomorrow.
That. that might be a thunderdome, thunderdome moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will be.
Demon 26, final thoughts.
I feel Pepe's dwarf remark was aimed at me for some reason. Hey guys, I'm slinging videos out on Gab TV now. All right now.
Yes.
I'm slinging
videos
out on Gab TV under my Demon 26 handle. Go check them out.
Yeah, guys, they are quite remarkable. Definitely
hot stuff down
there
by the river.
Yeah, it is. It's nature, outdoors, and common fucking sense, which we are losing all three. Okay,
well,
guys.
It's an angry,
go ahead.
It's an angry old man with a big backpack going for long walks and talking about stuff.
Well, you don't look fat, but you probably drink too much coffee. Okay, guys, our on-air live Gab shout-outs this week, Renee B. at JRDM, follow her. Emerson, one of our longtime listeners and supporters, at Argentino Americano. And I love this next guy. No prison, execute the traitors, at Alvin B. 1959. Thanks to my co-host, Pepe Farms, BP, and Demon 26. As always, stuff, great stuff. Thanks to our listeners. Remember, if you can't catch the show, you can always replay it. Join us on Gab at Radio Info Show, at Radio Info Show. Get us out of here, Pepe.
The paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry, I've had enough of these people. Little bones of Christian murderers gone, there's one giant death factory keeping babies alive, and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scones. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin, and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. have them on video. Hillary's in the creepy weird six stuff man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weird woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like dope. Literal vampire pots and the goblins are hobbling round coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We'll start self-centered crap. We don't even notice head itself rising up against us. Millions of pointless people of the very worst type, and I'm so dead. We're gonna sell your daughter at the mall.
I was watching Fox News as I worked out this morning.